You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Karen Kell Bolt. Karen Kell Bolt oversees the Association for Research and Enlightenment's Prison Outreach Program. Established in 1972 as the Over the Wall Program, focusing on the Search for God study group material, ARE's Prison Outreach Program has provided hope to the incarcerated for over 35 years. This important program provides inmates, chaplains, and prison libraries with free books related to the principles outlined in the Edgar Cayce readings, giving inspiration and hope to thousands annually. Striving to reach new and diverse populations, the program now includes juvenile centers and Spanish-speaking inmates. This program is funded solely by donations.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
What is the ARE's Prison Outreach Program?
Well, the ARE's Prison Outreach Program has been referred to as the best kept secret at ARE. It actually was started back in 1972. So we're going on, 30, the math is not good, but almost close to 40 years that we've been doing this. It started with Judith Stevens, who many people who have been with ARE for a long time are familiar with her. She just started answering letters from prisoners who had requested information about ARE. She started sending them books. She got damaged books from our bookstore and from our press department and just started sending them information. And she just kept getting more and more requests, and so she went to her study group, her Search for God study group, and Gladys Davis was actually a member of her study group who many are familiar with as Edgar Cayce's longtime secretary, and they decided that this was a worthwhile cause and that they would gather funds and contribute them to continue to send books. And Judith actually in the 80s went to many of the prisons, and they started with study groups, starting study groups in the prison, and they called it the Over the Wall Program. Actually, in the 80s, we had over 70 of our Search for God study groups that were operating in prisons throughout the United States. It's dropped off a little bit since then, actually quite a bit, and we're doing a new initiative, which I can talk about later, of getting that started again. But currently, we send about 10,000 packages a year to any inmate, either in a jail or a prison, throughout the United States. And we will send them free books, one book every other month that talks about or is related to the Cayce material. And we've been doing that for many, many years.
How does someone request a book?
You can go online. We actually had just a couple of years ago added a web page where you can actually request a book. So either the prisoner or a family member, if you have access to the internet, you can go to www.edgarcayce.org/prison, and that will take you directly to the ARE Prison Outreach Program page, and you can order a or request. You don't order because there's no payment; they're free. You can request a book. We will need the name, the address, and also the ID number of the prisoner. And then we will send out the books to them. And along with the book comes another request form. So each time a book is sent, the opportunity is given to the prisoner to request another book. And you can do that, or you can also write letters. Most of our the people in our program write to us. And you can write to us at the Prison Outreach Program at 215 67th Street, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23451, and we'll get you started in the program as well.
Wow. Well, how can other people, how can our listeners help?
Well, there are many ways that people can help. You can, of course, donate directly to the Prison Outreach Fund monetarily. All of that money, all of the program actually is solely funded by donations. So the number of books that we are able to send is directly related to the amount of donations that we receive. So if you would like to make a monetary donation, you can do that at the same address and also online. We have a few dedicated volunteers that actually come in and read the letters and process the books and send them out, so you could help in that way. We also have volunteers across the country who start their own book program. I know of one person who spoke to a local prison in their area and spoke to the librarian and was able to, they actually now have a little Casey section in their library because this person donated the books to them. We also have volunteers who are continuing to do the study group programs who actually go in and work with the prisoners. So that's another opportunity to volunteer.
Well, how did you get involved with the prison program?
We had a wonderful donor who had donated some money. One of the challenges of the prison program is getting this information to the prison and through their mailing guidelines. And so I was actually brought on board for a couple of days a week to investigate what the different policies were in each of the different prisons and try to come up with some practices and procedures that would help us get into as many prisons as possible. So I started out almost in an internship capacity, and then there was some restructuring that was done internally in the organization, and I ended up supervising the program a couple of years later. So it's actually been a nice transition for me. And I've gone through all of the different, started almost as a volunteer, and I'm now supervising the program. So it's been a wonderful experience.
What type of feedback do you get from prisoners?
That is one of the most rewarding things about working with the prison outreach program. When the letter comes in, usually a prisoner will write a letter, and even if they have the form with the book request, they still love to write and tell us about all of their experiences. And each letter is read by a volunteer, and then a book is selected specifically for that prisoner and then sent to him. So we receive lots and lots and lots of feedback. In fact, we receive the most mail of any department here at the ARE. And it is amazing the transformations that we have been able to watch. We have many people who have been in the prison system for 10, 15 years who have been reading our books or the Casey material. And there's just, they describe it as almost a light through the abyss. Because it's such, they feel so powerless as prisoners, and the Casey material speaks to them, I think, because of his call for taking personal responsibility and taking responsibility for your life, and also realizing that you are the only person that can change that. And so they really, really, I think, connect to that. Deeply, and we receive letter after letter thanking us so much with gratitude and blessings, and then we receive letters from people who have actually been released from prison and have thanked us for the knowledge that we gave them, and that they now feel like they are going to be a contributing member of society. So it's wonderful, and we've even had prisoners who have joined, become members of the ARE, who have started study groups on their own after being released. We have lots of the prisoners are involved with our prayer services, and we've had people continue on to continue receiving our prayer lists and being involved in our prayer community. So it's very, very rewarding to see that sort of transformation.
What books are most requested?
Well, we do. We have some core books, as we call them. Of course, we typically send out "There Is a River" for their first inquiry, which tells about Casey's life as well as his philosophy. And then there are lots of people who are interested in dreams. We get a lot of requests for dream books. Reincarnation is another popular theme, the Akashic Records they're interested in, Atlantis. Some people are attracted to meditation and prayer. So we just have a wide variety of interests, and most of the prisoners are just so appreciative. We've gotten letter after letter saying, you know, just send me what you have, because everything has just been so wonderful. And so food for the soul is what a lot of them call it. So,
well, there are a number of volunteers with this program. Do you need to go to the prison to help?
Well, we are starting a new initiative with some of the chaplains and some of the librarians in the prisons to reinvigorate our study group program.
We'll be right back with more with Karen Kell Bolt on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Karen Kell Bolt.
If there is an interest for people actually visiting with the prisoners and going to the prison, we do have that as a volunteer option, but you don't actually have to travel to the prison to be involved. Like I said, you certainly can come in and help us here in Virginia Beach. You can send donations to help us with books and with the mailing costs. And you can also, like I said before, contact, if there's a local prison in your area, contact them and see if there's a way that you might possibly be able to get some of the Cayce materials into their library or to their chaplain. So you don't necessarily have to work directly with the prisoners.
Well, I remember when I was a chaplain assistant in the Army, we had a soldier who was actually in a civilian facility. Mm-hmm. And as a chaplain assistant, even though I'm a Christian, I provide religious support, or I did, to people of all faiths, and they were of Baha'i faith. Mm-hmm. And so I attempted to get, that was something I would do maybe every few days. I would send them something, I'd research the Baha'i faith and try to find inspirational stuff for them and mail those letters off to the prison. And then eventually those letters started coming back rejected for some reason. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be hard to get materials into the prisons. So it's good that the ARE already has this going.
I think because we're well established, that we've been doing it for so long, that most of the prisons that I have come in contact with have been very receptive. We do occasionally, like you said, come across a chaplain here or there who may not quite jive with the Cayce material, but that's been very few and far between. We tend to, if there is some sort of resistance there, to send them maybe something about universal laws, or things about personal growth. There's just such a wealth of information in the Cayce material. We try, like you said, to sort of direct it, so that they're able to receive whatever information they need without having that initial response of, oh, no, unfamiliar, not, you know, mm-hmm. So. It is sometimes a challenge, but once we explain to them what they're actually receiving from this information, we typically have, we've actually had a couple of chaplains who said that the material was excellent, and that was that they were, again, connected to that whole personal responsibility, and that it was, you know, beyond any sort of religious connotations and much more a sort of universal spirituality. So I think that too is helpful for getting us into several, you know, to different environments where the prison population might be of different faiths.
Did the Edgar Cayce readings talk about working with prisoners?
I am not familiar with any of the readings that talk specifically about working with prisoners, but I do know that Cayce himself, when as a young man, used to visit prisoners in Kentucky, and he often referred to the biblical quote, which I don't have in my head right at this particular moment, of course, about Jesus going and attending to those in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for Cayce, it was much more of that connectedness that he talks about, that oneness that we all have. And so we're all responsible for each other, and even those that are incarcerated. So I think he would be proud of what we're doing.
Oh, yes.
At least I hope so.
Yes. And actually, we covered that verse in church last week in my church about Jesus saying not just to, or when you help the poor mm-hmm. or the homeless, but when you help prisoners, that you're helping mm-hmm. him. But I can't remember the verse either. But yeah. I kind of stood out, the prisoner aspect, because I knew I was going to be interviewing you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's interesting. So that can be part of a mission as a Christian or whatever faith you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's something not to neglect.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Well, did Edgar Casey work with anyone incarcerated?
Again, I'm not aware of. I know that he did go and visit as a young man when he was in Kentucky, that he did go. And I think that was more along with his Bible studies, that he would go and do Bible study with the local prison. But once he started with the readings and became, you know, became part of the association, I'm not sure that they did anything specific with them until the 70s when they started the outreach program. I'm sure that somewhere along the line that there was a study group for the GLAD helpers. I'm sure that somewhere along the line that they were helping those incarcerated, but I don't think that they had a formal program.
Well, how many letters does the prison program receive?
We typically send out about 10,000 packages a year. So we receive close to that number of letters.
Wow, that's a lot. So letters from prisoners and their families?
Primarily from prisoners, but we do occasionally get, and particularly with the website, we found that we get more family members accessing the website and making requests on their family members' behalf. But typically, it's directly from the inmate.
Do you need volunteers to help go through those letters?
Well, we have a very dedicated core of volunteers. We have between 3 and 5, but the demand is always there. So if anyone is interested in helping us with this program, we would love to hear from them.
And you mentioned already part of your new initiatives about working with the chaplains and sending people to the prisons. What are some of your other new initiatives?
Well, we are working on the study groups to try to increase that and working with the chaplains and the librarians. We also have a youth initiative. We've been working for a couple of years, and that's another thing that I started with when I first came to the program with juvenile detention centers. And we have been able to get into a few of the libraries with the juvenile detention centers. It's a little bit more difficult in terms of we found that the reading levels oftentimes in the juvenile detention centers, the books that we have don't quite match. So we are trying to rework some of the materials that we have and put it more into sort of a workshop format with some of the universal laws and some of the Casey materials and try to get that information out to the juvenile detention centers. So we have a youth initiative, and then we've got the study group initiative. And then, of course, we're always trying to meet the needs of all of the inmates who are requesting books. So that's a constant challenge as well.
And I understand the Spanish language outreach?
We do have a very small Spanish outreach. That is another thing. If anyone is interested in donating, we can always use Spanish materials. We have more requests than we can actually meet. The ARE Press, which produces all of the Casey books, has a few titles in Spanish. And then we had a very nice partnership with Hay House, who is another publisher that publishes materials similar in scope to the Casey material. And they were able to give us some more titles in Spanish. But we have just recently depleted our books in Spanish. So we are currently looking for more titles. So that is a constant need because we have more and more prisoners who are writing that do not read or even speak English. So being able to get them the material in Spanish would be great.
Well, what sort of books should people donate to you?
We would prefer them to be paperbacks because often a lot of the institutions will not accept hardback books. And as long as they are, of course, our focus is the Casey material itself. But if as long as it's related to the Casey material, it doesn't necessarily have to be related to Casey. I mean, so we have had people send. Louise Hay is another author that we have sent out that people are probably familiar with, and so it really is more of if it's concerning like dreams, meditation, reincarnation, you know, the big Casey themes. They don't necessarily have to be what Casey said about that, but we try to keep on the topics that he discussed.
Can it be general positive thinking or motivational books?
Right, yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So anything like that. We don't do dictionaries or novels or fiction of any kind. I know that there are resources out there that do that, but we try to focus specifically on, like you said, positive sort of subjects.
Hmm. Well, do you also send books to the libraries of prisons? And how does that work?
We do. We often we get requests specifically from a librarian. And one of the other initiatives with the study groups is to contact the librarians as well. We have a really good working relationship with the Southwest Prison Librarian Association, I think is the title of it. One of the librarians here in Virginia contacted us and has been very helpful in getting the books out to several of the Virginia prisons here. So typically we have the librarian contact us. We have also in the past sent out just general inquiries to the prison libraries, seeing if they had a need or a desire to have any of our books, and we will send them our core books for them to have. But we've also found that a lot of, from reading the letters, that a lot of the prisoners pass them on themselves. So they have their own little libraries separate from the institution's library, and they will loan the books back and forth to each other. So.
We'll be right back with more with Karen Kell Bolt on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. Let's continue our conversation with Karen Kell Bolt.
Back when I was an intern at a prosecutor's office up in Lake County, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and they gave us a tour of the Lake County Jail, and they had a really well-stocked library there, and that was actually something they valued. I don't know about other jails, but they believed in educating the people that were there or having something for them to read. So that's neat that you provide additional books, because I guess they always need books in those libraries.
Yeah, it varies from institution to institution. Like you said, I think that there are some that really value their libraries. And then we've heard from some prisoners where there's only like three or four books that they get to choose from. So it really varies from locality to locality, but that's why we try to focus a lot on the individual and getting it out to the individual, because oftentimes that the library is not set up.
And do you send
books?
Okay, so it may not be part of their system just to receive books. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes from just casual conversations with the librarians, sometimes, you know, it all depends on not necessarily the warden, but the administration of the prison and how that works. So we sort of have to do a case-by-case basis and figure out who's receptive to receiving books and who isn't, so...
And I was wondering, do you target prisons or do you also include jails?
We do occasionally get requests from jails. Unfortunately, what usually happens with that is a jail typically is a housing facility where they're going to be transferred to someone else. So a lot of times they'll be transferred before the book can actually get to them. So if that's the situation, we try to do our best, but we found that a lot of times if they're being transferred from one location to another, sometimes it's difficult to get the actual books to them in jail as opposed to the prison. But we have a couple of local jails here that the people are housed for a little bit longer, and we've been working with them for quite a bit.
I was wondering, just out of curiosity, the Virginia Beach Jail, I don't know, do they have a library where you can send books?
You know, that is a great question. I know that we have had a couple of volunteers try to go into the systems locally to volunteer directly with the prisoners, but I am not aware of the Virginia Beach Jail. I'm going to write that down on my list, and we are definitely going to check that out tomorrow.
Oh, I'm just curious.
Curiosity. I don't know. I know that we have sent books to them before to individual prisoners, but I'm not sure if they have a library or not.
Well, what is most important about the prison program to you?
I think the most important part of the prison program is best conveyed in a story that one of the directors here tells that's been involved with the prison program for a while. And it was a letter that they received from a prisoner who had been in prison, I want to say at least 20 years, and had never once heard his name called for the mail call. And he wrote us a letter just thanking us that he finally got a package and heard his name called at mail call, and that was the most wonderful feeling that he had felt in 20 years, to know that someone cared enough to send him a package. And I think that we have hundreds of thousands of prisoners who are in that same situation, who have no one reaching out to them. And if we can be that one person who reaches out to them to let them know that they are still a valuable member of our society and that someone cares, I think it makes it all worthwhile.
Oh, yes. I remember when I was in Army boot camp, it was very special to be able to hear my name called during the mail call. But I can only imagine somebody who's separated from family and friends for much longer in bleaker circumstances. That's a really special feeling that most people don't understand, perhaps.
Right.
Wow. That's amazing. And, of course, I guess you already mentioned the website, edgarcasey.org/prison.
/prison will take them directly to our webpage, and it will give you all of the information about the history of the program. It will also give you a typical day in the program so that you know exactly what happens from us receiving the letter to the prisoner receiving the book. And it also gives you ideas on how you might be able to help, like we've discussed before, in your own local area if you're not here in Virginia Beach.
Wow. Well, could you tell us about a typical day in the program?
A typical day in the program, we have one staff member, a full-time staff member, who supervises the program. And then we have about, like I said before, about 3 to 5 volunteers who work through the week. The mail is received and then opened, and each individual letter is read. Oftentimes, they will make a request for a certain subject in the letter. And the person who reads the letter will then go to our shelves where we have all of our books, and they will personally pick a book for that person. And then that book and the letter is attached to each other at another person who they call the packer will pack the book and enter it into our database. So we keep a record of all of the prisoners that we've had in the past. I think we have 5 years running. And they look up their information. They'll add the book that they've received so that we're not sending them duplicates. And then it's packed and then sent off. And then typically what happens, we send a book every other month, so we'll get another request And we just continue that cycle.
Wow. So I guess you have to have a computer database to handle these.
We do. And that is also one of our initiatives, is trying to get it converted. We now have it in sort of an old program, and we're trying to get it updated and pull all that information into our central computer system so that we'll have we'll be better able to access who we're serving and what books they're requesting, and just be able to do a little bit better tracking of what we're doing in the program. So,
are audiobooks out of the question, sending those to prisons?
A lot of, they can probably be sent to the library, but they cannot be, a CD cannot be attached. I don't know about tapes, but most of the books now, the audiobooks are on CD, and they do not allow the CDs in prison.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So don't have, people shouldn't send y'all a bunch of CD audio.
Right. So we won't be able to use the audio books, other than we might be able to send them to a library, because that would be a controlled situation. A lot of times the inmates are not allowed to have certain personal properties in their cells. And CDs is one of those things that they're not allowed to have.
Hmm. Now, could you tell us more about the Search for God study groups in prison?
Well, that was the original thrust of the program back in the 80s. And Judith Stevens, who actually started it, was called Over the Wall, actually went and visited throughout the United States, went to many, many prisons, and actually started the groups, or helped the chaplains or the inmates themselves start the groups. In the 1980s, we had roughly about 70 study groups that were operating across the country. We're trying to, and that's with the database, we're trying to find out how many of those are still remaining. I am aware of only a handful of those that are still remaining. And one of those is operating in a maximum security prison in, I believe it's Wisconsin. No, it's Washington, in Washington State. And that group has been meeting for over 35 years. So the study group material, I feel, the Search for God material, is very helpful for the inmates in terms of their soul growth and their spiritual and personal growth. Typically what will happen, we would like for the prisoners to start their own groups and sort of administer their own groups, but typically what happens is that they will get together with a chaplain or some other official with the prison and request the materials for the Search for God study group. And we will send them out a starter kit that explains how to start a group, and that it also has the materials that they'll need. And once they have a group going, we will actually supply them with the materials and the books that they need for all of the members of the group. So there's no expense incurred by the inmate or the institution. So we are hoping in this next year that we'll be able to get that study group number back up to where it was in the 80s.
Even though it's dwindling, you're going to try and get that going again.
We are going to try to get that going again, and I don't think that it's ever stopped. I think that we just haven't been able to track it as well as we used to.
We'll be right back with more with Karen Kell Bolt on Reflections. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Karen Kell Bolt.
What I'm hoping, and if anyone is out there and listening to the program, and you know of a study group that's happening in a prison, if you'll please let us know about it, we'd be more than happy to follow up with them and make sure that they're still receiving all the materials that they need. But we're trying to I think that we've got the book part of it down, and we're working really efficiently with the book program, and so are focusing more on the group work a little bit more this year, as well as the youth initiative and the Spanish initiative that we talked about earlier.
Well, for those people who aren't familiar with it, what happens at a Search for God group?
A Search for God study group. Generally, they study the Search for God material, which Casey did back in the 30s. And it's wonderful. It starts, there are actually chapters that you study in the book with different subjects. And the first one is cooperation, and then you study that. Typically, you study that for a certain period of time, and then there are certain, they call them experiments, that you do with that material that you're working with in your daily life. So it's really, it's not just knowledge-based. Casey was very into applying knowledge. It's not just that you know it, you have to apply it. And so it's the Search for God material seems to work really well with the prison population because of the application. They're not just reading about something or some concept, they're actually applying it in their daily lives. And they can see how working with these different subjects, one of them is cooperation, another one is know thyself, and then you talk about your ideals. So it really helps them sort of focus on what they want to do today as well as tomorrow. So I think that that material is very helpful for them in terms of their everyday life.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And now it's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose. Kimberly Rose is the host of the radio show Interviews with Kimberly Rose on CBS Sky Radio on Thursdays from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. She'll also be speaking at the upcoming conference, Be Your Own Psychic. It's the Edgar Casey Legacy, from October 19th to the 23rd at the ARE in Virginia Beach. To find out more, go to edgarcasey.org, click on Events, and then click on Conferences. Well, hello.
Hello.
And what's today's Thought for the Day?
Today's Thought for the Day is reading 610.1. To meet the disturbing factors with as much joyousness as if they were bringing pleasure in the material sight will alter much in the heart and mind of the seeker. For that which is the result of thinking of individuals is related one to another. And I love this because here it is. We are all mirrors to one another. It's so true. When we, even when I like to look at something when I meet something that just may be very disturbing. If somebody says something, I like to listen in what, if it disturbs me, what is it that I'm trying to learn or be aware of within myself? If somebody says, you know, looks and says, you know, well, you know, you really hurt me. You let me down. You weren't there for me. I, instead of taking it as guilt or in a disturbing, bad way, I try to really say, okay, I'm going to put light on that and really hear what that person is saying. And I find a lot of times that it's mirroring to me that, okay, if I'm not there for someone or I don't have time for someone, this is just an example, that the joy that comes in that is that somewhere I'm trying to take time for myself. You know, that maybe I need to take time for myself. And that there's a message in that for me. And so everything in life, even if it's a tornado that or of an experience that a tornado has come through, what is it saying to me? To me, it's telling me I see joy in the calm after the storm of things that have been cleared away. And so I really think if we meet things with joy, it really shifts our experience.
Oh, yes. And I guess for certain things, it's not all things, but this reminds me of perhaps in the Army when you're training and you think you're going to be done with your training if you're at the range or you're in a field training environment or something, and you think, oh, I'm almost done. I'm going to go sit down and have a soda and relax. And then, you know, the sergeant or someone comes up and says, we're going to be out here another 4 or 8 hours. You know, we're going to be staying that night out here. And it's suddenly, you know, that's the opposite of what you would think is joyous. But, well, I learned to say, I'll make the most of that opportunity. If they say we're going to be another few hours out here, think, how can I tackle that 4 hours and make them really good? So it's taking that negative, kind of like how you would take a positive, like a challenge, perhaps. So I'm going to take that, and I'm going to enjoy being out here longer.
And I love that, how you say that. You know, you said you were in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be something so important, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. Because you can't just be displeased when a big challenge comes up, because that comes up all the time.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just smiling. Because I really, truly believe that if we could just be in that space of knowing anything, we can turn around. We can turn any situation around, even when we feel that we've went down, you're going down the rabbit hole, you know, and you're trying to control things. You can add water and make it a water slide. You can enjoy it. You can make it anything you want. So why keep yourself in the misery?
Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day today.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Karen Kell Bolt for talking to us about the ARE's Prison Outreach Program. To find out more, go to edgarcasey.org/prison. Thanks also to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey.